He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Hump Day. It's Wednesday, and it is the Best Stocks Now show with Bill and Barry here today.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning. And we got a little downdraft. In fact, yesterday I said the market looked better underneath the surface than the indexes really indicated. But today I would say the market looks a little worse under the surface, especially tech, than the indexes would indicate. And I would say probably Netflix is leading the way down in, the hardcore tech. And a little weakness in ASM lithography, too. And I'm looking, the leaders in the NASDAQ today are Biogen, Vodafone, and BioMarin. So, I mean, total lack of tech leadership today. Anyways, we've got the Dow down, up 107. I say you'll dig into that underneath the surface, and it's not that great. The Dow's being led by Verizon, United Healthcare, and Travelers, okay? Three really exciting companies there. The S&P is up 10, 45, 29. Little strength in the healthcare stocks, Anthem and Abbott. And the NASDAQ's down 12 right now. The Russell 2K is down 1.5 points. Crude oil selling off a bit, down 82 cents to 82.14. Gold up $9 to 17.80. Silver up 23 cents to 24.11. The star of the day, man, there's no stopping it. It's up 5.7% again today. Bitcoin. Bitcoin is up 3,585, 66,208. Is that a new all-time high on Bitcoin? You can look that up there.
Well, I know the highest it's been since April was about 64,500. So we've gone through that. I'm pulling up the chart now, but
let me get to the break here. 10-year is up is flat at 1.64. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And CFA and a CFP, Barry Kite. I do a little soft open there. We have 2 minutes. Because in some markets, we're not live, Barry, on some of the cities that we're in with the show. We're not live. So I kind of do that live update for our live stations. And then I start after 2 minutes. I start all over again, and some markets pick us up after that 2 minute mark. So, anyways, here we go. We've got yesterday. Let's begin with where we were yesterday. 200 points to the upside on the Dow. The S&P was up 33 yesterday. The Nasdaq was up 124. But I think the significant development yesterday across the board, we broke out. Those were breakouts. If you look at a chart, a one-year chart of the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ, they all broke out to the upside. You know, a lot of times it's been my observation, Barry, just like a week or two ago, they were on the verge of breaking down. I mean, those big indexes were testing their support levels. As you know, it was just one bad news story after another, it would seem like, on the market. And then the earnings season came along, and now we've got the market moving forward March again and breaking out to the upside. So I would have to credit earnings with it. But a lot of times when things look the worst in the market and it looks like it's on the verge of a breakdown, that's a good buying point. over the last 12 years, that certainly has been true. Every little pullback in the market, and when things kind of look dire and like we're going to head into maybe a possible 10% correction or more, the market turns around, and it did it again this time. And the story of the day has got to be Bitcoin here so far.
And that is an all-time high, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, that's an all-time high today. It was 66,000. Now it's 65,917. You know, and Bitcoin's had a little infusion, a little catalyst, some good news with these Bitcoin ETFs starting to hit the market. Yesterday, the very first one, ProShares, which I added to the app, BITO, and the GBTC wants to convert to an ETF. The Bitcoin, ProShares ETF is futures, but the GBTC will give you actual exposure to Bitcoin. You know, there's something reminiscent, too, here for me, having gone through the year 2000 when .com was the buzzword. Any company adding a .com to their name or starting a website to do sales over their website, the stock would fly higher. And these days, it's any stock that all of a sudden, you know, becomes Bitcoin-oriented in any way, digital currency. Yesterday was MasterCard. They're setting up for, you know, handling Bitcoin and whatnot. And that makes the stock surge a little bit. Are we going to have a digital bubble? You know, in 2000, it was a dot-com bubble. I don't think this Bitcoin thing is going to end up well in the end. But for now, what can you say? It's hitting new highs. And any company that mentions that they're getting more and more involved in the digital currency, that's giving the stocks a boost these days. I've seen some companies, in fact, Barry, that looked like they were on life support, and all of a sudden they announced that they bought some Bitcoin mining machines or something like this. And
right.
The stock, yeah, I mean, there is a bit of a Bitcoin fervor, digital currency fervor right now. To me, that's a warning sign. But at the same time, you know, I have a little exposure to it, not for my clients, but personally, which I think a lot of people do. Yesterday was a big day for the solar stocks.
Very good day.
Yes, and that is because the Democrats seem to be zeroing in finally. They couldn't get the $3.5 trillion. That was just too hard for a Manchin and Sinema to digest there, so they're mellowing it out a little bit. They'll probably break it up into some smaller bills. But this first one is pretty much social programs. But, you know, one of those parts that may make it into this one is big tax credits, huge tax credits for installing solar on your home or buying an electric vehicle. And I think that's got the solar stocks a little bit excited here. TAN is an ETF there that's pretty much all solar. And then if you want to expand out and get exposure to wind and other types of renewable energy, ICLN. And then there's one called SMOG, S-M-O-G. You know, I grew up, my first 8 years of my life, I was in Burbank, California.
Right.
That is Smogville, USA, when I was growing up. Of course, we've done a great job over the years, you know. The Los Angeles Basin, there were days when you could hardly see. Now it's like that in China and Beijing, as they have a long ways to go. But, of course, L.A.'s not too bad these days. The other big news today would be the Netflix earnings. They beat by 63 cents, but their revenue was in line. We warned yesterday that Netflix earnings can be a bit choppy. The stock, you know, the stock is coming back here. It's only down 1% now, down $5 per share. There's some buying on this pullback. And the big one reports tonight after the close. It used to be Apple that everybody looked for, but tonight it's Tesla. And the big question is, can Elon Musk become a trillionaire, the world's first trillionaire? There's some talk that, you know, his privately held space company, SpaceX, they're having a very important launch today. And, you know, they'll raise some more private funds in that, and that will give a new value to the company. Right now it's valued at about $100 billion. And you add in almost the $1 trillion market cap on Tesla, and Elon Musk could actually become a trillionaire, creating a new class for AOC to go after. Netflix gains is 1%. That was after the close, and right now it's down about 1%. But I'm seeing some pretty good buying coming in here into this little sell-off. And we're going to get a lot of earnings here tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Next week is going to be heavy, heavy on the tech. Today we had ASM Lithography that missed a little bit, and Netflix. Those are the first two tech stocks that have reported. And tonight, after the close, all eyes on Tesla. We'll talk a little bit about what to expect from their earnings when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite on today's Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we had breakouts in the market yesterday across the board, S&P 500, Dow, NASDAQ. And I have to credit earnings for the breakouts. And we're just barely into earnings season. By the end of this week, we're going to have 80 companies report this week. From the S&P 500. So that's about 15% of the S&P 500. Then it really picks up next week. But I would just have to say, so far so good, judging by the market reaction. Tesla will report tonight. The stock is flat right now. It's up 88 cents at $865 per share, which is at or near an all-time high, $853 billion, probably headed for a trillion. Let's see, only 3%. Let's see, a 6-week rally. Yeah, they're up 14% in the last 6 weeks.
Big movement in that chart.
Yeah, and we'll see about their margins. We'll hear about their supply chain disruption. I worry a little bit about their exposure to China. Not only their auto sales over there, but other things that they, the supply chain, part of the supply chain.
Yeah, well, it was, but, you know, their monthly sales, it was interesting that the, you know, in China, the EV sales have kind of fell off a bit. But actually, Teslas were very positive for last month. And I think it has to do with, you know, China and supply chain and chips, right? And so, you know, China kind of ramped up a lot of their chip hoarding, right, in early on in the pandemic. You know, kind of the thought is they had an idea of how bad the thing was going to get. And then, of course, Tesla, right, began securing some of those supply chains also. So I think, you know, some of those chips are running out that, you know, that China had early on in the pandemic. And then, of course, you know, Tesla's kind of overcoming some of their issues early on, and they've been ramping up production there. So it's kind of it'd be interesting to see that. I'm interested to see those Chinese numbers as well.
Yeah. Okay. And speaking of China, I mean, they're in the news every day lately, and you know, they're having a little bit of a liquidity crunch over there. China's Ministry of Finance issues $4 billion of U.S. dollar bonds in Hong Kong as liquidity risk widens in the country's property sector, and it's weighing on economic growth. You know, Jim Chanos yesterday kind of issued a big warning about China and how they could be getting into problems from, you know, their economy. And he kind of compared it to the 1930s when, you know, of course, we were coming out of the Great Depression, and a lot of these countries got into trouble financially, and that led to a lot of despots rising to power. And, you know, so we keep an eye on China. They play a major role in the world today. Last week, China's credit default swaps That's the cost of insuring dollar debt against default, soar to its highest level since April of 2020. So China may be having a little bit more of economic problems that we realize. And, of course, the reason we have to watch that is they're a big part of the global economy. And if China were to go into a financial crisis or a huge economic slowdown, well, believe me, that's going to impact us and other players around the world. So we have to watch China very, very closely. I take that warning from Jim Chanos yesterday about China very seriously. I did a lot of research on that last night. Mm-hmm. He made some very good points.
Said it could trim global GDP by a third. Average about 3% GDP for the last 10 years or so. And if China's faltering, he thinks it can trim off a point, 1% off of that number. So
yeah,
it's a big deal when in any type of credit crisis, right? Go back to 2008-2009. The good news is a lot of that debt is held within China, so it's not one of these issues where our 2008-2009 debt crisis traveled over, say, to Europe. In this instance, they see it kind of very much contained within China, but you create more civil unrest, right? And so there's at least internally, and then you get into the scenario that Chanos was referring to.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and then another problem in the supply chain, of course, the labor shortage, that's impacting big time the ports in Los Angeles. It's impacting a lot of different areas. And now you've got the vaccine mandates that are helping. You saw that big shutdown of all those flights with Southwest,
right.
Which they claimed it had nothing to do with the vaccine mandates, but I find it interesting that yesterday Southwest backed off of those vaccine mandates. So obviously there was a connection there. And, of course, you've got in a lot of these major cities, one-third of the police department, Chicago yesterday, one-third of the police department ready to quit. And she's ready to fire them, the mayor of Chicago, because they refuse to get the vaccine, and of course it's the Joe Biden doesn't have the power to create a nationwide mandate, but he's gone after these companies and encouraged them. We saw Boeing, they have one now for 125,000 employees. What's that? How many of their important workers are going to say no way? And they may have to back down. And now it's General Electric imposed a mandate. Union Pacific Railroad imposed a mandate. So we're just going to have to see. And I also read an interesting story last night. Of course, my wife and I are from California. We're In-N-Out Burger. There's nothing like it. We've got nothing like it out here in South Carolina.
Ate it five times while we were out there because we had our 15-year-old with us. They thought it was the best thing that's ever ever happened.
Okay, so there's one In-N-Out Burger in the city of San Francisco, and the health department visited and closed it down. Because they, these little high school kids and, that run these places and are running the cash register, they're tasked with checking people's vaccine certification. And In-N-Out Burger said, we're not going to do it. We'll leave this store closed if we have to. We're not going to have our employees be the vaccine police. So that's interesting, In-N-Out Burger, which is located in Fisherman's Wharf there, having a big shootout down there at the plantation with Governor Newsom and the health department. Okay, and then, of course, Bitcoin yesterday. Let's check on BITO today, B-I-T-O. I want to see how much, if they've listed their net assets. No, not yet. That thing's up another 3.1% today. It'll be interesting to see in about 2 or 3 months how much money flows into that thing. This is going to just, if this digital currency is a house of cards, which, you could take either side of that, these ETFs are just going to feed into that house of cards, right? And further propel the price of Bitcoin higher and higher and higher and higher. So this is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But Beto, B-I-T-O, hitting 43.24 today on 10 million shares. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow up 164, but I'm not seeing much leadership there underneath the surface. I would call the stock of the day an S&P 500 stock, Anthem, A-N-T-M. That's a pretty good chart there on Anthem with the stock breaking out after their earnings report. And that's lifting some of the healthcare stocks. So one of the big, the leaders in the Dow are up like 2%, 1.5%. United Healthcare and Travelers. NASDAQ just has no leadership whatsoever today. I think it's awaiting, ASM, which is a big chip stock, semiconductor manufacturing, equipment manufacturing company, is a little soft. They're down about 3 or 4% on their earnings report. And again, I'd call the stock of the day, I'm going to call it Anthem. That's a big, big pop there into that one. Okay, coal. You know, just when it looks like it's time to buy the coal stocks, China intervenes. That's the problem with investing in commodities, because there's all kinds of different things that can happen to impact the price. Peabody Energy, that's kind of a direct coal play, BTU. It was down 18%. It's down another 6% today as China state planner said it is reviewing ways to intervene, including setting price limits to stem surging coal price. You know, China seems to really be panicking over several issues, but I would say their number one issue that they're panicking over is the coming, they see an energy crunch, which once again, that could hurt their economy. And they are rapidly moving. They secured all those contracts within the last week for liquid natural gas. And now they're declaring a war on coal prices. And that's turning the coal miners and the coal stocks lower. I wonder if that ETF coal still exists. K-O-L. K-O-L. Nope. No.
ESG folks got that one.
Definitely. That one became too hot to handle from a political point of view. Okay. You know what? This is interesting. We talked yesterday about, I think it was Spectrum rebranding to Charter Communications.
I know where you're going. That's
Facebook
segue.
Is going to change their name. And we don't know what the new name will be. I sent out a tweet on this earlier today. I said, any suggestions? I need to look at my
your inbox. You probably broke the internet with any suggestions.
Any suggestions that I can actually read on the air? Nobody could come up with anything here. I'm surprised.
If you can't say something
Zucks,
nice.
I don't know. Zucks, shucks, Zucks. I don't know. I really don't know what they're going to. But I have a hunch it's going to be something to do with the metaverse.
Metaverse? Yep. You took the words out of my mouth.
Of course, Google changed their name to Alphabet, and nobody calls them Alphabet. Google is actually a verb now in our dictionary. I'm going to Google that. But because of the unrelenting bad press from a massive internal document leak and ramping up regulatory pressure, Facebook will rebrand the company with a new name in the coming week. Isn't it true that the Washington, the football team, Mm-hmm. They're just calling them the Washington football team in the scores that I check every.
Right. Oh yeah. And I think they may that's one of the names that they may stay with. And they're talking about, you know, changing, you know, permanent name change, right? And one of the choices is sticking with the Washington football team.
Really? I mean, what's on their jersey?
That's
just,
I think,
Washington.
It just says Washington. Yeah, I think
that's weird.
It's been a rough few years for the Washington football team.
Yeah.
I don't see them on TV much here. Certainly not as much as growing up. In the heyday for them in the 80s. But I'll Google that. I think it just says Washington.
Yeah, it is. And of course, John Gruden got caught up in that whole mess because they did an investigation of the whole organization, and some of his emails were in there. And he lost his job. He resigned as the coach of. Can we still call them the Raiders? Are we going to offend anybody? The Oakland Raiders? I guess so. Yeah. I guess they're still the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah. Los Angeles or Las Vegas Raiders. Sorry.
Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah. Yes. Okay. CEO Mark Zuckerberg's ambition to be the metaverse company. That could be, have something to do with it. He's going to hire 10,000 people across the EU to work on its metaverse ambitions. All I could see was metaverse has a lot to do with virtual reality, a virtualized internet. I don't know. This is weird. Okay, so here's my, let's see how MasterCard. MasterCard is getting into the digital currency business. Let's see how it reacted yesterday, I guess, to this news. MasterCard completes its acquisition of CipherTree, a cryptocurrency intelligence. So we'll call it the crypto bubble. The crypto bubble. I'm not one making predictions, but I think the crypto bubble is going to pop at some point. I don't know when. It may go crypto. Who knows? Bitcoin could go to 10,000. Or 100,000. So someone, Kathy Woods, what was her target price on Bitcoin? It was some astronomical.
Did she say a million? Was it a million?
Maybe. It was a huge number. And I think, you know, when we look at the next bubble, we had the IPO bubble of the dot-com bubble of 2000. We had the mortgage bubble and the real estate bubble of 2008. There's a lot of candidates. It could be the debt bubble bursting with all the debt. The crypto bubble, I think if you took a poll and said, you know, what will the next bubble be? Crypto's got to be in the top two or three of a potential bubble out there. Lithium, certainly not a bubble. I'm going to keep my eye on this Compass Minerals, CMP. They are now figuring it out. They found, the Great Salt Lake is pretty briny, pretty salty. Well, they're converting it to lithium for batteries. Compass Minerals announces a successful conversion testing of its lithium brine process, brine resource, to battery-grade lithium hydroxide, which it calls a significant milestone in its lithium development project. So that's an interesting story because they're sitting on a huge, huge 2.4 million metric tons of lithium carbonate at its site in Ogden, Utah. You know, in the past, Compass Minerals has been a salt company. You know, like the roads freeze, snow, you got to salt the roads. But now all of a sudden it's becoming a lithium company, and it's risen in my database. It's now number 607 out of 6,000. That symbol is CMP. And they're going to hire an Albemarle executive, which is a big lithium company. He'll be joining the company as head of lithium. So here you got a company overnight in the last month or two changing, you know, pretty much from a salt company to a lithium company. There is a couple of breakthroughs in biotech today. We'll just mention Radius Health, RDUS, which is getting some pretty good results. Wow, look at that thing. It's up 28% on 44,000 times normal volume. It's traded 34 million shares so far on a very promising breast cancer treatment. let's see what they're calling that. Late stage trial of elacestrant met the primary endpoints in treating certain patients with breast cancer. So that is the biotech breakout of the day. Cocomelon getting ready to go public. You know, that's all I know is the grandkids love Cocomelon. They know a lot of those songs and everything. The maker of Cocomelon is Moonbug, going public, potentially $3 billion market cap. $3 billion. Your kids are a little too old for Cocomelon, Barry.
Yeah, I saw that story a couple of days ago. I just we just missed that one. Put it that way. But now I'm thinking, why didn't they? They should have took the Teletubbies or Barney. Why didn't they? Why didn't someone IPO them?
Yeah. Well, those Cocomelon songs will stick in your head all weekend if you're not careful. Okay. When we come back. We got to talk about Brinker and the fallout it's having in the restaurant stocks. And then, of course, we're going to feature a few stocks that are popping today off the page at me. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to do.
Welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Something improved pretty dramatically here in the last week. We were actually down a little bit today, and now we're pulled back up to even on the day. So I'm going to say that maybe the NASDAQ, I'm waiting for the NASDAQ. Yeah, the NASDAQ has improved. Okay, so the NASDAQ's up 38 now. It was down 10. But I'm still not seeing much leadership there in the NASDAQ. There's definitely four stocks. I have four today that jump off the page at me. You know, they show up in one of my screens, either Momentum A Plus screen, Rising in Rank screen. And, of course, we're still today I'm going to test the beta version out. It's just so complicated to get into all of these beta sites to test this thing out, but today I've set aside some time because I want to get this upgrade out to everybody, and I'm also getting some stocks here from my top rank list today. The first one that jumps off the page off to me today is Ford. Ford got a huge upgrade by somebody on their electric vehicle prospects, and that's a beautiful chart on Ford. That is what we call in the stock business a saucer pattern with forming a little handle and a nice breakout today, fresh breakout. And if it gets to 1645, it's at 1609, that would really be a breakout. So I'm going to watch that one, Ford. Ford is ranked actually, too, pretty high. It's ranked number 238. In the Best Stocks Now app right now. Ford does not pay any dividend anymore, but it's $64 billion. And we've just talked about the discrepancy. Ford at $64 billion and Tesla at $864 billion. There's $800 billion worth of market cap sitting there in Tesla. Maybe Ford can chip away at that a little bit. Okay, the other one there's two more. Lending Club jumps off the page at me today. It must be an earnings report. I want to say, are they the ones that sponsor the Florida Marlins? One of those lending companies
Lending Club or Lending Tree. I'm trying to remember.
The stadium is named that. I think it's Lending Club, LC. Man, that's a beautiful breakout there today on Lending Club LC. I want to see where that thing is ranked really quickly in the Best Stocks Now app. LC is currently ranked at number, it's a lender, obviously. It's an A-plus momentum grade, and it's ranked number 312. We do not own Ford. We do not own Lending Club. But these two are jumping today and jumping off the page. To me, too. Another one is International Game Technology. they're kind of transforming themselves. I can remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when all of the Indian casinos were rising in California to take on Las Vegas. And, of course, you had the big boom going on in Las Vegas. And it was a slot machine boom nationwide.
Macau. Yeah, Macau was big taking time. Off around that same time, exactly.
Yep. And international game technology, you know, which makes slot machines, computerized casino game, that was one of the hottest stocks. And then it's just been flat for many, many years. But now it's getting renewed life out of all of this sports betting, football, college football, you know, you name it. I think New Jersey became the first state that took in $1 billion in gambling in 1 month. And so International Game Technologies is humming today, IGT, and it's also ranked pretty high in the app. I think it comes from my A-plus momentum list today. It's
and Connecticut ranked at, just came online as well. I think.
Yeah, Connecticut. Momentum grade A-plus on IGT, and it's ranked 192 overall. And the third one, and I'm pretty sure they reported earnings today, the railroads are part of the supply chain. Canadian National, CNI, popping today, breaking out to new highs. And Canadian National currently, one of them's in play. They're either buying another one or they're being bought or there's an offer for them. I'm not sure which one, how it works, but CNI is ranked 666. It must be showing up. Momentum grade of A, and
5%.
A very solid. It's up. Yes, one of the biggest gainers today, along with Anthem. There's not much else really, and of course Tesla. They either report tonight or tomorrow. Let me see when that is. Tonight or tomorrow before the open. Tesla. On the earnings calendar, they report the 20th. Okay, so that's today after
tonight.
The close.
Yep.
To me, these days, that's the biggest report of the earnings. That, Apple's probably taking second place, and Amazon probably in third place now as far as the most highly anticipated earnings report. It ain't IBM, I can tell you that. Anyways, okay, so look, we've been really busy talking to people. A lot of people are worried about being in passive portfolios and really nobody minding the mint. Okay, not only is your portfolio passive, your broker, your money manager, your advisor is passive, doing nothing, you know, when wheels are turning and things are changing and, you know, trouble in China, and you got to be on top of this stuff. So if you'd like to give us a call about a little bit more active management, definitely hands-on and vigilant. I call it vigilant. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. The portfolios have had a nice run here recently over the last couple of weeks. We've made just a few changes. I picked up two yesterday, one in the emerging growth and one in the best funds now. I picked up an ETF yesterday.
Yeah, TAN, right?
Yeah. Oh, you're not supposed to tell the people.
Oh,
you're going to have to stand in the corner and write, I will not disclose what Bill bought. I did. I added some solar to the best funds now, because I think maybe the Democrats, there's no way they're not going to include that in their bill. Okay, so that just cost us 10 calls. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, you to get the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. I actually will be cranking on that newsletter tomorrow, and it's going to go out Friday before the close of the market, because the redfish are just swimming all around my dock right now. I can't take it anymore. I got to get out there Saturday. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.